with a song, if you'll stand. We'll sing number 108, Come Christians Join to Sing. Let's sing together. We'll sing all the verses of 108.
Come, Christians, join to sing. Alleluia, amen. Loud praise to Christ our King. Alleluia, amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice. Alleluia, amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, amen. Praises fill the sky. Alleluia, amen. He is our guide and friend. To us He'll condescend. His love shall never end. Alleluia, amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia, amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, amen. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness we'll adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I met our guest speaker about 14 years ago, and he is currently the director of Mission to Haiti, founded by his father 36 years ago. And it's been a privilege to know him and his family and to serve alongside him during my 14 trips to Haiti. I was on the team when the earthquake hit 6 years ago, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve in Haiti and trust that I have many more in the years to come. So, Bill, thank you for coming and sharing your ministry with us.
Well, folks, it is a pleasure again to see you all, and thank you for coming out. I'm honored for you having me, and I'm honored to be here and to be able to share about the work in Haiti. I know that so many of you are really involved in many ways, whether you're supporting a child, sponsoring a child, whether you're giving or you are coming on a team, or you're praying. I tell you, it all works together for the Lord's glory. For the work in Haiti, and so I really appreciate that. Being able to spend some time with folks this weekend, Dale and his family, and Dodie and Phyllis, and Lovila and James, and Matt and Jean, and a lot of other folks that I've known over the years, and seen in Haiti. It reminds me of all of the things that have gone on. I was talking to Dale this afternoon, and we mentioned about the earthquake and being there, and you know, we all had different perspectives, the things that went on. I tell you, with all the people that were hurt, the Lord protected us, the Lord watched over us and brought us home, and only the Lord can do that. And I'd like to share with you tonight about what's happening with Mission to Haiti and give you some updates and give you some perspective on what we do and why we do it. But I'd like to start off tonight with a video of the team that we... Oh, no, you, oh, keep going. Okay. Okay, we'll do that. Okay, I just got the signal, so I'm gonna keep going. When it's ready, what we'll do is we'll show a video of the pictures, of some photographs of the team that we just got off of, just came home from. And it was a group that came from Sheldon, Iowa, in northwest Iowa. They were one of the first teams that ever came with us to Haiti. And they came a couple of years ago. They went to Tigua, which is one of the communities where we work. And they, the pastor, they came to build some homes for people there in the community. They had found a house that they saw, and they wanted to build for the for families. And so the pastor, Pastor Bruce, said, "I really need a new church facility. Really need a new church building." He said, "Would you build that?" And so the group prayed about it and thought about it, and they said, "Yes, we'll do it." And so they put it together. Last year, they put the floor and the walls up, and this year they built the roof, and it came out beautifully. They still have some more work to do with it. They have to we need to plaster the building and paint it and do the floor and such. But they did a wonderful job, and before we left, we had the opportunity to worship in it on a Wednesday night service. And I tell you, the building, the church was filled. I got up to greet the congregation at the beginning of the service. When I saw all the pews filled, I told the pastor, I said, "You know, if it's filled tonight, the very first service we're meeting in there, what are you going to do on Sunday?" And I don't know what they did. I'm sure it was really packed out. But it's a testimony to the desire, the spiritual hunger that is there in Haiti. And that's why we're able to be there. There's a spiritual hunger. People know that they need not just physical needs, which is what we meet oftentimes, but they have a spiritual need. And I tell you, the fix for Haiti is salvation. Salvation is the beginning of doing what needs to be done in Haiti. And when you pray for us, when you give, when you sponsor a child, you're working toward that end. You really are. Is it ready to go? All right. Well, we'll show that, and then we'll go from there. Thank you.
Still a mystery.
That was the kind of the whole team in a nutshell, I guess, in a 5-minute nutshell. Of course, the main project was to build that roof for the church. It was a 70-by-40 building, and we ordered all of the lumber, and we had it delivered out there to the site, and they were able to build all the trusses right there on site, and to put it all together. And one issue they had was that when they got those trusses, it was a 45-foot span across that building, and they had a lot of trouble getting those trusses up on top and then turned over because that they were so heavy. It's all pressure-treated lumber, and so it was heavier than they thought it was going to be. And they really struggled with that, but of course they got it up and got it all leveled and just turned out great. The church that came provided food for about 350 families. They put it all together and gave it out one afternoon. We had a lady that came and gave out eyeglasses. She tested people for their eyes, and she gave out glasses to those who needed it, young people and old people. We had a medical team, not really a medical team, but a medical effort. Beverly Jansma, our medical team coordinator, she saw children at the school, and we visited a couple of schools while we were there. So we really got a lot done, and they accomplished much, and we had a good time doing it, too. You know, one thing I always enjoy in Haiti is I enjoy having a real good time, and a time of fellowship with fellow believers is always a good time, to be there and to serve together. I love serving, and I love being able to do what the Lord wants me to do. You know, Jesus said, the Father tells me what to do, and I do it. And, you know, that's a pretty simple agenda, and I think it should be our agenda, too, that we just do what the Lord's will is. I just want to thank everybody for all that you have done. Of course, I want to thank the pastor for the opportunity to be able to come and to have this time to share. And I know that, you know, pastors, they're, you know, to give up the pulpit is a precious thing, and I take that very seriously, and so I really appreciate that. I want to thank Dale. Dale's on our board of directors, and he has served so well. And I love his family, and love that all that he's done for us. And I really appreciate his service to Mission to Haiti. We have another local board member, John Bollinger. He lives not too far from here, and he has served so well. And we really appreciate his service also. I want to thank Dodie and Phyllis for having me come up here. They Dodie came to Haiti in November, and he came to Haiti in November to have a pastor's conference, and that went very well. And he shared with me about James and Lovila and their ministry and the possibility of having Bible schools in Haiti. And so we came up to get together and to see if we could find some solution or some way that we could have Bible schools in a more developed fashion in Haiti. And so I appreciate that opportunity as well. And I want to greet you in the name of all the people who serve with us. My father and mother, Bill Sr. and Ann, Chris and Bonnie, who were here not long ago, my nephew and his wife, Pino and Esther, who served with us in Haiti, all of our workers in Haiti, our partners, Junior and Ronald and Tifwe, all those that you know and you've heard of. I know they send their greetings to you, and they really appreciate all your prayers and support. The reason why we go to Haiti is to bring the gospel message there. But there are so many needs and so many things that have to be done. We have to decide what does the Lord want us to do and what approach should we take. I was sharing last night with some folks about how the sponsorship program got started. And it really got started in a way that the Lord opened the door. We had there's a gentleman who lives in the community, still there in Kazu, where we have our mission campus. And he came to my father years ago. And he said, I was blinded in an accident, and he said, I need to send my daughter to school, but I can't. I can't afford to send her to school. Can you help me? So my father said, well, I'll pray about it, and I'll see what the Lord does and what doors he opens. And when my father returned on that trip from Haiti, there was a gentleman, a family that he knows, that came to him, and he said, you know, my wife and I have been praying about an opportunity in Haiti. We would like to help a child. What would you suggest? And so he knew exactly what to suggest, that they would sponsor this girl, Breda Lewis. And so Breda Lewis was our first sponsored child. And from there, we just continue to sponsor more and more children. Right now, we have 13 schools and 2 vocational schools. And we sponsor close to 900 children right now. There are 4,000 children that attend the schools. And the numbers fluctuate from year to year. But basically, they're about 4,000. And they serve many, many families in those communities. Often, those schools are the only schools in that area, and so we're able to reach families that could not be reached in any other way. Education is so important, and many more children today are getting an education because of sponsorship. We really believe that sponsorship is the most important thing we can do, not only to help the children of Haiti, but to evangelize Haiti. I really believe that the most important thing we can do is to equip Haitians to change Haiti for Christ. That really is the most important thing we can do. Giving them the tools, giving them the knowledge, giving them the wisdom so they can serve. We really think that empowering Haitians and equipping Haitians is going to really change Haiti. Our mission is very straightforward. Win children for Christ through Christian education, nutrition, and health care. And as you saw in the pictures, you saw this morning as well, the clinic at work, you saw the nutrition program at work, children eating, and also Christian education. It's so important. I'd like to share with you some scriptures that I feel express the proper perspective of how we should serve in Haiti. And in Haiti, one issue that we often discuss, whether it's through face-to-face contact or whether it's people who ask us or people who go to Haiti, really the question is, how do we address the problems in Haiti? The greatest problem that we really see is poverty. It's a worldwide problem, but it's a problem, a very grave problem in Haiti. And as I began to think about that, I thought, what is the biblical perspective of poverty? I mean, how should we look at poverty, and what should we do, and how should we consider it and approach it? And I came up with some scripture verses that I felt really expressed the way that the Lord would want us to serve. There's one thing that the Bible tells us about the poor, and that is we will always have the poor among us. You know, Christ, when he when he was confronted. In fact, in John chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, it says, "Thus then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was therein. Then saith Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." And Judas, when Jesus' feet were anointed with oil in preparation for his crucifixion, Judas called out and he said, "You know, that was such a waste of money and that was such a waste of resources. Why did you allow this lady to do that?" And he said, "She did it for my burial." And he said, "The poor you will always have, but me you will not always have." And he quoted that from Deuteronomy. But it's a reminder that the poor are always going to be with us. I know that we always want to address poverty and we always want to address the poor. But it is a reality that the poor will always be with us. So what should we do? As long as the world continues, there will always be poor people. Poverty is a spiritual problem. And I believe that the greatest problem in Haiti is spiritual. If you were to try to identify in one word what the problem in Haiti is, the one word that seems to come up more than anything is corruption. That seems to be a word that really stands out. Well, corruption is a moral issue, and it has to be solved in a moral way. And so salvation does that. Poverty is a spiritual problem. Deuteronomy 28:47-48 says, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all these things. He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he has destroyed thee." And so poverty is not something that we just fall into. It is a spiritual problem. God has a plan for the poor people of this world, and I believe that God has a plan for the Haitian people as well. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty." God has a plan for the people of Haiti. He has a plan for those people who are serving there. And, just like we are having to contend with the election that's coming up. And, you know, of course, we know that the candidates were in town today and they're vying for a position to get everybody's vote. Haiti is having their own election problems, too. We were in Haiti in January and they were supposed to have an election a runoff election between two presidential candidates. And because they could not get things organized, or they could not settle on certain things, they didn't have it. And so Haiti is having their own presidential problems, their own presidential election problems, and they continue to struggle. So the poor we will always have. God also hates poverty, but he loves the poor. We will always have the poor, but God hates poverty. But he loves the poor. And it seems like a contradiction, but it's really not. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Proverbs 13:18 says, Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So God hates poverty. Poverty is a sin issue. Proverbs 23:21 says, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. However, God does not forget the poor. Their poverty will not keep them from receiving God's blessing." And when we think about the issues in Haiti, and we think about the effectiveness that the Christian church has in Haiti, or the Christians have in Haiti, poverty will not stop them from serving the Lord. Our conditions or our circumstances that surround us will not stop us from accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. Sometimes we think, well, in order to do God's will, I have to have all these resources or I have to have all these things. God will supply those resources. And in Haiti, God will supply them as well. All of our support comes from churches and individuals. We don't get any special monies from any place else. The only way that the Lord supplies Mission to Haiti's needs is through people, through God's people. And so we depend on that. And we realize that if there's anything that we need, what we need to do is pray. So many times we've been in situations where we needed God's support, we needed God's help and His wisdom. And when we pray, He responded. You know, I don't know what people do who are not saved, who are in difficult circumstances. Maybe they hope for good things, or maybe they rely on good fortune. But I tell you, when we pray, God responds. He really does. And when a Haitian will pray in Haiti, God will respond to them. But our job is not to address all the problems. If I could fix every road in Haiti, if I could provide water for everybody, if I could provide a house for everybody, it still will not be better than providing the gospel, which will change their life forever. Poverty is a sin issue. However, God does not forget the poor. Luke 6:20-21 says, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed be ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. And even though we know this is talking about a spiritual poverty and a spiritual hunger, we know that God cares about the poor and He addresses their issues. The way He addresses that is through you and through your prayers and through your support. Poverty does not stop God from accomplishing His perfect will. And sometimes we think that our circumstances will stop God from working, or will stop us from working, but it doesn't. God goes over and goes and surpasses all of our circumstances. James 2:5 says, "Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him?" So poverty will not stop God from accomplishing what He wants to do. I tell you, the hearts and minds of the Haitian people today, those children that you saw this morning in the video and tonight in those pictures, the families, the Lord can work through them, and they can accomplish anything that the Lord would have them to accomplish. Their impoverished conditions will not stop them from fulfilling God's will. So the poor will always have. God hates poverty. Thirdly, charity is a part of God's plan. Charity is a part of God's plan. Deuteronomy 15, chapter 15 says, "At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. Every creditor that lendeth aught his neighbor shall release it. Thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Because for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thy hand to. For the poor shall never cease out of the land." And before Moses died, before his ministry was over, he gave the people, the Israelites, a plan, God's plan, for handling poverty and for handling the people who were poor. As he says here, "For the poor shall never cease out of the land." And so what he says is, every 7 years, you will release all the debt that you have, and for these people that they will have, so that they can restart and re-begin their lives again. And that was a plan that God had and God established. I tell you, the one problem that we find in our own country is debt, great debt. We know the issues of debt in our own country, and we know the problems that it can create. In Haiti, there is great debt. There are people that are swallowed by debt, and they have no place to turn. But the Lord has a plan, and His plan is to use us. Understanding our own needs puts us in the right frame of mind to meet the needs of others. In Exodus chapter 23, it says, "Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and thou shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it lie rest, that the poor of thy people may eat, and that they leave the beast of the field shall eat. And in like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive garden." And so the Lord provided a plan for Israel in order to give them, in order to give the poor something to eat and something to have. In Haiti, we want to provide the people who are there the opportunity to be self-sufficient. It's not always very easy, and but it is something that will allow them to be independent and to be able to change Haiti and change their circumstances on their own. Education does that. Education is teaching somebody the truth. It's teaching somebody the truth. And I was thinking, in fact, I was talking to Dale yesterday, and the power that the Lord gives us is through His Word. The most powerful thing we have is God's Word. It really is the work of the devil to keep people from being able to read and understanding His Word. That's where the power is. And as we teach these young people how to read and how to write, we give them access to the most powerful thing they have, which is God's Word. They need that. They will change Haiti because of that. And so getting an education changes them, and it changes their circumstance and changes their access to that power. Also, we want to train them. We want to give them skills that they can use for their own selves. One thing that we've done recently is to establish vocational schools. And I had a pastor come to me a couple of years ago, and he said, you know, I want to provide something for our sponsored children so that when they graduate, they'll be able to earn a living. And so as we talked, we thought, well, what could we do in order to do that? And we came up with classes to teach seamstress and tailors how to sew. And so he started these classes, one in one school and now in another school, where he teaches young people how to sew. And what they're able to do within 2 years, they get through their training and they can sew on their own. Most of the clothes that people wear in Haiti are handmade. They can't afford to buy clothes from a store. And so what they do is they go to a tailor or a seamstress, and they have a suit made, like a jacket or a dress, or especially school uniforms. And that's where they get their clothes. And so being a tailor or being a seamstress is a productive industry in Haiti, and it's something that they can go right to work at. It's providing a lot of young people with jobs and with the ability to sustain themselves. Meeting people's basic needs is God's will. Deuteronomy 10:18 says, "He that doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment." He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow in giving him food and raiment. And some of the most basic things we do in Haiti is to give people food and clothes. Providing for them food and clothes. January we had some ladies who came. And before the trip, they received a donation of shoes and clothes to give out to the children and families that were there. Sometimes children can't come to school because they just don't have shoes to wear to school. Most of the things that they need are church clothes or church shoes or school clothes, things like that, school shoes. And so they put together six or eight suitcases full of clothes and shoes, and they brought them out. And as you saw in the pictures just a few minutes ago, they began giving them out to the children, sizing the shoes up and the clothes up. And what a difference that made. Families can't afford these things, and they need help. And so providing clothes and shoes, food, and these things isn't within God's will, meeting these basic needs. Next, charity is a part of God's plan because God owns everything. Psalms 24, 1 and 2 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." God owns the whole world, everything in it. Sometimes I think I own the stuff I have, but you know what? I don't. Whatever I have, my home, my vehicles, my things, the money that I have, nothing belongs to me. It all belongs to God. God owns the wealth of this world because he created it. It belongs to him. Colossians 1:16 and 17 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. By him, all things consist." The things that I do as if I own everything that I have. But the Lord really owns everything that I have. Therefore, he can do with it what he wants to. With my money, with my talent, with my energy, with my things, he can do whatever he wants. We should live our life as if God owns everything that we have and that he controls everything that we have. My wife's parents and my wife's family were missionaries in Cuba before Castro went into power, before 1960. And from that point, they moved from Cuba to Miami and lived there. Well, they went to different places, but they ended up in Miami ministering to the Cuban people there in Miami. And my father-in-law went home to be with the Lord about 2 years ago. And over the course of a few years, he divested himself of everything that he owned. And I saw it. I saw what he was doing. He had saved a little bit of money. He had a few things, a few personal possessions. He had a car, which he gave to our daughter so she could get back and forth to school. He had some money, which he used to cover some expenses. And he had some furniture, and he had some mementos and things. But by the time he passed away, by the time he went home to be with the Lord, he had given away everything that he had. The only thing left that he didn't give away were photo albums that he had collected over the years. He loved to take pictures, and he loved to put them in albums, and we ended up with about 20 albums of photographs. And they're everything from when the kids were small all the way to, you know, the present day. And I thought to myself, as I saw that, as I realized what he was doing, I said to myself, you know, that's exactly what we all need to do. We need to divest ourselves of everything that we have. Because you know what? It doesn't belong to us. There's nothing that we have that belongs to us. It belongs to the Lord, and it's his to direct how he wants to give it. So when you give an offering to the church, that's God's money. When you give to a missionary, that's God's money. When you do anything you have, that belongs to the Lord. It really is his. God owns the wealth of this world because he created it. If there is anything we have in this life, it is because God gave it to us. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers, as it is this day." It's the Lord who gives us the power to have wealth. We have some candidates, presidential candidates, that have been very successful in their life. We have people in this country that have been very successful. Dale took me around town yesterday and today, and I saw the great things that great wealth has done for this community and for these towns. I tell you, there have been very successful men, women, people who have served very well, very hardworking, very honest, very good people. But I tell you, all the wealth that they have collected does not belong to them. It belongs to the Lord, whether they believe it or not. And we need to give our resources to the Lord to use as he would see fit. I tell you, we would be a lot happier, and we'd have a lot more peace and contentment if we lived in that way. Everything belongs to the Lord. And lastly, we are stewards of what God gives us. God owns everything, and so he puts it in our hands to be stewards. Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So wherever our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. We would be much better off to invest in heaven rather than investing in earth. As good as those investments may look, we're better off investing in what's in heaven. And that is investing in the work of the Lord. When you give to your church, when you give to missions, when you give to those who are serving the Lord, you're laying up treasures in heaven. And that's exactly where our wealth belongs. God does not measure our success in what we have, but in what we give. And I tell you, that's very pertinent for the Haitian people, because the Haitian people do not have a lot. They really don't. Many of the families that we work with, they don't earn a lot of money. They don't have the capacity to earn a lot of money. And so they're very limited. If their success was through what they could give, they could not be very successful. but our success is not in what we get, in what we receive, but in what we give. It really is. The Lord used the example of the widow who gave that mite, and when he saw that, he said she has given everything that she has. We work with people who earn sometimes anywhere from a dollar a day to a dollar and a half a day to maybe $5 a day, and the money that they earn barely gives them the resources to buy food for their home, to buy clothes, to buy things that they need. And so even by helping them to attend school, they sometimes they may have money to send their child to school, and other times they may not. And so by sponsoring a child, you allow that child to consistently go to school. Sponsorship really helps the family because it takes the resources they would normally spend on school or school things and allows their child to go to school consistently. They simply don't have the funds in order to send their children to school and get an education. But they can be successful because our success comes in what we give. Luke 12:15 says, "And he saith unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And so the Haitians that we work with, they can store their treasures up in heaven because that's where they'll have it best. Anyone can be a giver. Acts 20:35 says, "Remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he saith, It is more blessed to give than to receive." And so the Lord says himself, it is better for us to be a giver rather than a receiver. And that's exactly what he was as well. Salvation is the beginning of bringing lasting change to Haiti. Salvation is the beginning of bringing lasting change to Haiti. And one reason why I came up this weekend was to talk about the possibility of having Bible schools and having an emphasis to reach children for Christ. I tell you, the heart of the Haitian people is wide open. I was in the airport some years ago. I was in the Port-au-Prince airport, and I was waiting for the plane to come. And there was not many of us there, maybe a couple dozen people in this terminal. And all of a sudden, a gentleman, a Haitian gentleman, stood up, and he began preaching. And he preached. You could tell he was preaching. I couldn't understand all that he was saying, but he was preaching. And every few minutes, he would get an amen from the crowd that was sitting there. And he just kept going, and he preached for about 15 minutes. And then he sat down, and he was finished. And you know, I thought to myself, nobody stopped him. If he had done that in the Miami airport, they would have stopped him. They wouldn't have let him continue. But he was able to continue, and people said amen, and nobody stopped him. And I thought to myself when I saw that, I said, you know, the heart of the Haitian people is wide open. They want to hear the gospel. They don't want to stop the gospel. I think that's the reason why Haiti is such an open field, an open mission field. There are places where you go in this world where you don't have that opportunity. I have a brother-in-law who's a missionary in Russia, St. Petersburg, Russia. And they have to be very careful what they say, or the government's not going to approve. They're going to stop them from proclaiming the gospel or presenting the gospel. But in Haiti, that's not the case. The reason why people believe is, in many cases, is because they haven't heard. Their heart is open. The best way to change Haiti for Christ is through sponsorship. I really believe that. When we touch the life of those children, we are touching the life of not just them, but their brothers and sisters and their cousins and their moms and dads and grandparents. All these people are being touched with the gospel. It's very common in Haiti that when a child goes to school, they're invited to come to church. In fact, they always do that. They're always invited to come to church and to be a part of the ministry there. Then the pastor goes into the home and he invites the parents to come to church. Then he invites the grandparents to come to church, and the whole family begins attending the church and hearing the gospel. And I've seen many cases where families, whole families, have been saved just because one child has been sponsored. We worked with a pastor in with one pastor, Pastor Ramey, who started a church in a place called Non Palm East, about 4 hours away from Port-au-Prince. And it was very difficult to get to. He was given some property to start a church, and so he did that. And in order to begin, he went out there for 2 weeks the first time and began preaching. And he preached under trees, and he preached in open areas. And the interesting thing that he told me afterwards, he said after 2 weeks of preaching, he said there were so many people that got saved in those meetings that the witch doctor could not get a group together to have a voodoo service. There were so many people of those that practiced voodoo who got saved that the witch doctor couldn't get a group together to have a voodoo service. Now, that's power. That's really power. It reminds me, my mother told me one time, my mother grew up in Pennsylvania, and she told me that there was a revival in her town. She grew up outside of Pittsburgh, and she said there was a revival in her town that started. The preacher started preaching 1 week, and things were so successful, he preached the second week, and things were, so many people got saved that he preached the third week. Finally, he preached for 7 weeks in that town, and he said there were so many people that got saved that she said you couldn't buy a Bible in the town. Every Bible had been bought up. So the gospel can have a great effect. Helping a child receive a Christian education will transform his life and lives and the lives of everyone around him. We need to pray for Haiti, and we need to pray for what's happening in Haiti. Haiti is confronting, or they're really being impacted by the 21st century. There was a time when most of Haiti was very isolated, and most of the people in Haiti were very isolated. I remember times when people would come to me, adults would come to me, and they would say, well, how did you come to Haiti from Miami? Did you drive from Miami? How did you come? And they just had no idea as to what was out on the outside world. Today, there are a lot of things that are in Haiti that give people understanding about the outside world. There's the internet, and there's television, and there's radio, and there's a lot of people traveling back and forth. And so there's a lot of people who understand what's happening outside of Haiti. But in many communities, they simply don't. A couple of years ago, we had a group of vocational students come to the mission campus to work with some ladies who were going to work with them to teach them how to sew. And they did a great job. They were you know, teenagers of 14, 15, 16 years old. And we brought them from their community, from their village, to the mission campus every day. And afterwards, I spoke with the pastor, and he said, do you understand that these students that came to the mission campus, They never had been in a vehicle before. Before last week, they had never been in a vehicle before. And you think to yourself, well, here, this young person is 16 years old. They've never been in a car before. They've never left their village. There are many people in Haiti that are still very, very isolated. And so it's those people that we want to reach. Those people that we want to reach out to. They need to hear the gospel. And there are many good things that are happening in Haiti. Be praying for Haiti and the presidential election. Right now, the runoff election was scheduled for January 24th, and it's been postponed until April 24th. Be praying that that election is successful. There's two candidates that are in the election, and they're having demonstrations. Each party is having demonstrations. Each group supporting the candidates are having demonstrations around the city, and it's very contentious right now. Be praying for them that everything will settle and that the new president will be elected. That election is going to be April 24th, and then he'll be installed on May 14th. Be praying for just the conditions in Haiti. Haiti goes through different cycles. They've had cholera before. Now there's a bout of Zika virus that's there. We have that in Florida as well. Many people are very isolated. We have a clinic and a nurse and a doctor that can treat the people that are there. But I know things like that really affect communities, especially close-knit communities that work there, or that people that live there. And the nurse and the doctor work with them, and they help them. We have a pastor, a longtime pastor, who went home to be with the Lord last month. His name was Pastor Augustine, and he was the pastor at the Gidon School. He had worked with us for a long time, and he had was having some health issues. And while we were there, he passed away in Haiti. And so, be praying for his family and the ministry there. We have several teams scheduled for this coming year. We have, Lord willing, we're looking to go to Haiti in June with a team and to have Bible school. We also have a team planned for July for those who want to come and see the work. It's like an eyewitness team. And also in November, we have a dental team scheduled. We have a dental, we have dentists that have come with us for the last 3 years. And they've been working with the children and helping them and helping them to helping them with their teeth. Many of these children never see a dentist. They never have the opportunity to get that kind of help. And so they are they've been a real good support for the schools. In November, this past November, they went to Tiguab and they were able to see all the sponsored children that were at the schools. They filled cavities, they pulled teeth, they did fluoride treatments, they sealed teeth, and they did a lot of good work, things that would really help the children to have a better dental health. We know how the importance of things like that. We're asking the Lord to really give us direction in all that we're doing. I'm convinced that the gospel needs to be at the forefront of all that we do, and it really has been, but even more so today. I think that that the need in Haiti is for people to understand, to hear, and to be saved. I brought with me a copy of the Creole New Testament, a new version that's coming out, and I had a pastor friend that that gave this to me. And they're going to complete it. They have an older copy that is the complete Bible in Creole, but they're trying to revise it to be more accurate and to be better. And it's been a real good version. And people need to be able to read the Word. Most people in Haiti, most older people in Haiti cannot read and write. The children that attend the schools where we work, most of their parents do not read and write. And so in many cases, they are the first generation in their family to go to school. You can imagine how difficult that is when you're a child and you want to go home and you want to do your homework. You can't go to your mom and dad and say, "Hey, mom, can you help me with my homework?" Because they can't. They can't read or write. And so it's been very difficult for them. Sometimes the children start late in school. They may start first grade when they're 8 or 10 years old, and so by the time they get to sixth grade, they are they're already an older teenager. That's still very beneficial for them. Even if the child only goes through sixth grade or they finish when they're 18, it's still very beneficial. It reminds me of my own family. My father tells me that my grandfather, when he went to school, he finished in the third grade, and that's as far as he got. And he had to go to work, had to help the family. So he got to third grade and stopped. My father got a little bit more education than him. I got a little bit more education than my father. And now my kids are getting more education than me. And that's sort of how it works. And, you know, in Haiti, they're sort of in that cycle now. These young people are getting an education, and in the next generation, their children are going to get more education, and their children's children are going to get more, and it's going to make a real difference in Haiti. Education is teaching the truth, and I believe it is one of the greatest ways to promote the gospel in Haiti. You're a part of that by praying and by giving and by sponsoring, and I really appreciate that. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your support. Keep us in your prayers. Keep praying for us and keep praying for Haiti. I believe that Haiti will change. When we went through the earthquake, it was a very difficult situation. We didn't know what the Lord was going to do, and we didn't know if we were going to get out very easily, but the Lord provided a way for us to get out. But I thought to myself when the earthquake hit and afterwards, as I thought about it, I realized that God is going to use this circumstance to change Haiti forever. And really, Haiti is being changed forever. There are things that are being done now that could not have been done before. Changes and attitudes and processes that are happening in Haiti because of the earthquake. So Haiti is changing, and I want to be a part of that change. I want the Lord to use us as a part of that change. And you can be used, too, by praying and by giving. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill, for coming and sharing your ministry with us this evening.
We're going to close in a word of prayer, but I think there's a table out there that has some information on how to. You want to say something about
yeah,
the?
Yeah. Sure. I do have a table out in the back. We have a table in the back there, and it has a couple of things on it. It has some information that you can take with you on sponsorship. It has some sponsored children or children that are available to sponsor. If you'd like to sponsor or consider that, you can look through those pictures and you can see if there's any child that that strikes your eye that you think you would like to help. There is a page that has a place for you to put your name and your email. If you'd like to get some email updates for us, we send those out all the time. You can put your name and email down, and we'll put you on that email list. There's also some photographs and some things that that are there that you can look at, and just a way to show you what's happening in Haiti. But I appreciate that very much. Thanks, Dale.
Well, there's many ways to be involved with the mission, and I trust that you'll take some time during our fellowship tonight to visit with Bill. If you have any questions and just want to visit with him, just take time to do that. But let's close with a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your sovereign work and what you're doing in the world today. And we know, Lord, that you have a plan, and it will be accomplished. And whether it's in this country or any country in the world, we just know that you're at work. But we do thank you, Lord, for the mission that is ongoing in Haiti and the good things that are happening. I pray, Lord, that we would be mindful to continue to pray for the Haitians but especially pray for the mission to Haiti that Bill's and his father are involved in, and continue to bless them financially and in physical health, and that they can continue to minister to the Haitians through the gospel, that many souls would be saved and needs would be met. I thank you for this church that is faithful to support and to help, and they're willing to give, and I know that we'll continue to do so. We thank you for the time we have tonight, the fellowship meal, and just ask that you would just bless it, and maybe we just be encouraged with one another as fellow Christians, and just be blessed. But we thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.